Welcome back to another Channel 9 video on Dynamics CRM, and we are here with Ruben Krippner to talk about CRM SDK updates. So Ruben, there's a new refresh of the SDK that's happening around convergence for Dynamics CRM 4.2. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. So the refresh of the SDK, as you mentioned, it's coinciding with our CRM online service update. And we're expecting that around the convergence timeframe. But it is applicable for all of our deployment models. So that's on-premise, online, partner-hosted. And what we've done in this particular SDK refresh is we've provided a number of new developer tools and constructs that make it simpler to go and build applications that work in with our API. So, for example, we've got a code generation tool, and that code generation tool allows you to point at your CRM web services, again, regardless of the deployment model, and generate some strongly typed class that you can then drop in your Visual Studio project. And it makes everything strongly typed, including custom entities, custom attributes, and so on. But what it does that's kind of different than anything else we've done before is it also maps the relationships between those entities. And so from a programmer's perspective, I can refer to an account.contacts, set the index for whichever contact I want, .firstname. So it's got this whole referential path that I can use within my coding that previously would take probably 10 to 15 lines of code. So that's the first part of it. That code gen is very, very powerful. Second part is we've got some portaling piece. So we talked about the portal accelerators, but there's a bunch of portal binaries that do things like membership management. They do cache management and so on for highly performant websites. So there's that piece as well. And then on top of that, we've also got a link provider that allows us to actually go and, or allows a developer to use standard link syntax to query CRM. So for those .NET developers that approach development today around .NET 3, 5, and 4, the constructs that you're using, so ADO.NET Data Services, Link, and these sorts of things can now be applied to the CRM world, which means that we move on from the .NET 2.0 framework or platform that we have been on. We move off largely from the message-based programming approach or the dynamic entities approach that was every bit as powerful and capable. So we're not saying that they were limited. It's just the paradigm with which I approach writing code is different than how I would approach a more modern development project.
So it's a refreshing code, if you will, and you promise us to show some code this time.
Absolutely. So we'll take you through some examples on some of the big savings in terms of the amounts of line, the amount of lines of code that you need to write to connect to the CRM web services, to create, read, update, and delete records, and do a number of those sorts of things. So we'll give you, in fact, do you want to do a brief demo now?
Yeah, let's look at some code.
That sounds great.
Okay, so what we're looking at here is a typical Visual Studio project. And what I want to do, we're obviously not going to have time in this video to go through absolutely everything. There'll be tons of documentation in the SDK, and we'll be releasing more videos and things like that. But this is just to give you a taster and hopefully get you really excited about the new SDK capabilities. What I'm looking at here is a console application. And just to show you how simple it's going to be to do certain things, I've got an app.config file in here, and you'll see we've got this connection string section. Now, .NET development today, you'll be used to, if I'm connecting to SQL or I'm connecting to another back office or another data store, I'm familiar with this concept of a connection string. We're now bringing that into the CRM world. So for those that have written code that connects to CRM online versus on-premise versus partner-hosted, it's a fairly different model for each of those connections, right? What we've done with this is we've made it the same structure for all of them. So you'll see here I've got two connection strings, CRM online or on-premise. And the connection string is saying, in this case, CRM online uses passport. I then pass in the server URL of my CRM online deployment, and you also pass in a username and password. Now, I'm going to show you a dummy user ID that I've got set up. What I'm not going to show you is my password, but you get the idea. For on-premise, you'll see that the authentication type is integrated and it's got the server address there. So straight away, that's how I define connecting to CRM in this new world of development. Now let's actually have a look at how that actually works. And the idea is that I make a reference into my data context, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But you can see the syntax here is very, very simple. So I've now got everything strongly typed, and all I need to do is set values as far as, you know, what I want. So if I go in here, and let's say I was interested in email address 3 equals, let's say, test at hotmail.com. And you'll see that that now is very simple to do. And then all that happens is we've got these methods like add to contact. So for each entity type, including custom entities, there's now this add to method. And then to commit those changes, all I do is call the save changes method.
So you can buffer up a lot of changes and just call save once.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's actually, just before we move on to any further code, I need to talk about the code gen utility. So it's actually called the CRM service util. And this is the thing that allows me to point at a CRM deployment, point at a CRM set of web services, and it goes and generates a class that's got all of my data structure. So let's have a look at the one that's been generated here. So you'll see that we've got this concept of an account, and we've got all of these entities, activity, and so on and so forth. So if I stay in account, if I look down here, I'll see all of these attributes. But you'll also see we've got things like account cases, account contacts, contracts, contract lines. So in the class itself, it maps out the key relationships of that schema. So it now means the number of lines of code I need to write to query and get at this, it's automatically done for me. Okay? So let's quickly just run through this code example, and we'll show you it in action. So the idea is here. So this was actually built by our good friend Shan MacArthur, who's been working with us on building out and testing these tools. And so we've got this, he's created a thing using the code gen tool of Shan Data Context. We'd call it XRM Context or whatever you want. And you'll see that it's passed in the CRM online configuration connection string to go on and set that up. So if we actually go and debug this, this is just a console app, so we'll let that run for a second. Okay, so we've started debugging this, and then what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to step through this code, and I'm going to move to the next checkpoint. So the first thing that it does is it creates a contact. So let's run through that. And it's going and calling the necessary methods and so on to go and create that for me.
The first time it's initializing the web service calls, making sure the endpoint is ready and all
that. That's correct, that's correct. And then once that's actually been completed, it's then going to, it's then going to end, finish up at the next sort of checkpoint for me. So this one, obviously, we haven't cached up that web service call. Now what it'll do is it's going to go and create an account, and it gives it just an account name. But here's where it gets interesting. I can set the primary contact, and the class knows that the primary contact is expecting a contact entity. And that's exactly what we're going to pass it. We're going to pass it the contact object that we just created in the previous step. So let's run through that.
So we just created an entity record with a relationship in just a few lines of code.
That's right. And you'll also see that what I've done is the reciprocal. So I went back to the contact, and I set the parent customer account to be that account record, and then I'm going to run the same thing of updating that object and saving those changes. Okay, the next thing, and we're just going to run through a bunch of transactions just to show you what I mean. So I can create a marketing list called softball team, and I can tell it that this is a marketing list of contacts. And then I'm going to add Charlie Brown to that. So here we are. We just call the add link. We're adding a link from this list object, which is the marketing list, to our contact object, which is Charlie Brown.
But so the pattern of what you would write previously was, you know, large number of lines of code, but
yep.
Here you're really simplifying this with a few lines.
Yeah, you're writing this stuff in like one line of code. So let's now work through some link queries. So we mentioned some modernizing there. Here's where I want to go through the marketing list that include Charlie Brown. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to go through the contact. I'm going to go through all the marketing lists relating to the object Charlie Brown, and I'm just going to list those out. Very, very simple. So this is, you know, link at its best. So it runs that for me. And then if you have a look at it, you'll see there's softball team. Okay? Let's go back now. And now we're just listing all the contacts in CRM. So we've got this top-level object CRM, and we've got this contacts collection. All I got to do when I run that is, and it just lists out all the contacts that we've got there.
And I can see it's first class data, not just because you get the IntelliSense, you get the tool, the functionality.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, here's where link starts to get interesting. So I can say, give me a list of all contacts with the email address charliebrown@peanuts.com. And link syntax here says, okay, give me the contacts where the first or default email address equals charliebrown@peanuts.com. And then just go and write that out. So let's go and do that.
I'm not writing any query expression or fetch XML in this case.
That's right. So in this instance, what it's doing is it's translating the link statement into a query expression and then running that and then returning me the results. So then let's list all contacts with the domain @peanuts.com. So we're using the ends with keyword here to actually go and find that information out within CRM contacts. And you'll see all of this runs very, very quickly. The next one is, and this is starting to get into some more complex stuff using joins. So it's listing all the accounts where the owning user's last name is not equal to Canon. Now, I don't actually have any users set up in this system that have the last name Canon, so it's just going to find all accounts for me. But you'll see, give me accounts joining on the CRM users table where the account's owner ID equals the user ID, and then where that last name is not equal to Canon. So let's run that query. So
for someone who hasn't, you know, played around with the link, this just looks like SQL queries.
Absolutely, and that's the beauty. That's what we're driving towards here. If you haven't checked out link, definitely do that. It's a great way to go and write queries using your standard sort of .NET language. And from a CRM perspective, it means my accessibility to that data store is now far easier. So let's now look at all contacts where the parent customer is equal to Peanuts. Run that one. And then give me a list of all contacts in the softball team, so that marketing list that we've talked about before.
So you have multiple joins, complex relationships, but your query is still with 5 lines of code.
Yep. And so we finished all of that construct. I'm going to do enter on that. And what we'll see is once that's actually finished, it will return me control. But let's just have a quick look at that. And you'll see we've also got this delete object method. So it's just as easy to deactivate and delete records as it is to create, read, and update.
So your fundamental CRUD operations are, you know, super simplified, if I may say, with this new SDK.
That's right. That's right. And so there's lots more samples and things that we're shipping. Things like the ability to plumb this into a web application, so I can use things like ASP.NET data grids. Without having to write one single line of code, I can now link using all of these methods as a data store into my ASP.NET page and then surface that through very standard .NET development techniques. So we're very, very excited. There'll be lots of examples around Silverlight and plugins and all of this sort of stuff. So stay tuned for that, you know, for that SDK refresh. And we look forward to a pretty exciting, you know, rest of this year from a here and now being able to develop against CRM 4.0 online, on-premise, and partner-hosted. And that story continues in CRM 5. So this gives you a preview in terms of the programming environment that you'll have around CRM 5.
Absolutely, because this is a product that was that shipped back in 2007, and we are retroactively applying a lot of changes. And I'm assuming this is the way forward for anybody who wants to build applications on top of CRM.
That's correct. That's correct. So, like I said, very excited. Get stuck into it now. Learn the techniques, and then you'll be very well placed for CRM 5 when we start shipping that towards the end of this year.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Ruben. Really appreciate you coming and showing us all of these tools. And we look forward to seeing you again at Convergence. And
yep.
I look forward to playing with you pretty soon.
Terrific. Thank you, Girish. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to everyone.
All right. And we will see you all in another Channel 9 video. Bye for now.